sacrifice than laying down a blameless life. You became sin for me, my Savior and my friend.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service at Bedhampton on the 15th of November 2020. It's lovely to be with you all again. I'm Polly, I'm one of the members of the congregation here, and I'm going to lead you through today's service. Now, although we can't be together in person, it's great that we can still join together online. And please do take the opportunity in our online service today to join in with the songs and really enjoy singing. We haven't been able to do that in our buildings, but nobody can stop you doing that in your houses. So please do enjoy it. As we come to start our service today, let's just take a moment to pause. Loving God, we welcome you. We come to worship you in your holiness. We come to praise you in your love. And we come to adore you in your beauty. God the Father, fill our worship with your glory. God the Son, fill our worship with your presence. And God the Holy Spirit, inspire our worship with your power. Amen. And now too, please join with me and sing The Greatest Day in History. We've just sung there about the greatest day in history being the day that Jesus died on the cross. What an amazing thing he did for each one of us. And now we're going to come to a point in our service where I just want us to pause and to think about what we believe in. What do you believe? Well, we believe in God the Father, who reveals his love in Jesus. We believe in God the Son, who pours out his Holy Spirit on us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who teaches us God's truth. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're now going to have our readings. And after our readings, Vanda is going to come and share a message with us all.
The reading is taken from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Greetings from Farlington. Our church community is studying the Gospel of Matthew. 2 weeks ago, we heard the conclusion of Jesus' teaching from chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount. That sermon, chapters 5, 6 and 7, clearly shows the authority of Jesus' teaching. And that section ends with these words: "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." This comparison of Jesus with the religious leaders of his day is a continuous theme throughout Matthew's Gospel. Matthew hasn't written a chronological account of Jesus' life. He's arranged his material and knowledge of Jesus in a way that was and still is good for teaching and learning about him. The teaching of the Sermon on the Mount showed that the then listeners and now us what God's kingdom life should be like. Those chapters describe Jesus' lifestyle. They give us a behaviour pattern to emulate so that we can be more like him. But we can't do that in our own strength. We need God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us to help us overcome our sinful nature and to produce his fruit in our lives. Matthew has shown us Jesus' power and authority in his teaching. Now he shows us Jesus' power and authority over disease, sickness, and the demon-possessed. In chapters 8 and 9, Matthew sets out a sequence of 10 miracles performed by Jesus. In those, we see how he lived out his own teaching. We have the first 3 miracles in our Gospel reading today. The leper, a desperate, lonely outcast of Jewish society, sought Jesus out. He ignored the laws of the time regarding the prescribed distance between lepers and other people. He knelt before Jesus, showing both submission and worship. He acknowledged Jesus' power and authority. This man had faith in Jesus and trusted in God's love and compassion. The crowds, most likely in shock and fear, would have moved back to avoid contact with this contagious, desperate man. But Jesus, the sovereign Lord, reached out and touched what the people and the religious leaders saw as untouchable. The leper was healed by the loving, accepting touch of Jesus. In keeping with the law, Jesus sent this man to show himself to the priest and to offer the gift that Moses commanded. This miracle was a sign to the priests and religious leaders that the kingdom of God had come. The healing of the centurion's servant is also about faith in Jesus. But Matthew also shows in this story the universal nature of the gospel message. The hated Roman soldier showed great compassion for his ill servant, and he, like the leper, recognized Jesus' authority, which he compared to his own authority over his soldiers. Jesus commended the soldier's faith. He pointed out to the crowds following him that he hadn't found such great faith as that in Israel. he told his listeners harshly that many religious Jews who assumed they were in the kingdom of heaven would be excluded because of their lack of belief and faith in him. Many Jews, then and now, are enslaved by their religious traditions and could not and do not accept Jesus' message of salvation for all people. This Gentile soldier's faith highlighted the Jews' lack of faith. This miracle too was a sign to Jesus' audience that the gospel, the good news about the kingdom of God, was for the whole world and not just for the Jews. It was and is for anyone who believes and trusts that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It's also possible that some people in the church nowadays may have become so bound up in traditions and rituals that the personal acceptance of Jesus as their Saviour has never been realised. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Following that story is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Again, this is a lovely picture of the all-inclusive message of the gospel. We know that women were often seen as objects in Jewish society. But Jesus' acceptance, love and compassion brought that woman swiftly to health again, and in grateful response she began to serve him. I wonder, what is our response to the love of Jesus in our lives? Are we serving him wholeheartedly as he desires and deserves, or do we just admire from a distance what he has done, like crowds, but live our lives without him? After that story, we're told that many people were brought to Jesus at Peter's home when it was evening, that time being in accordance with Jewish law. But Jesus, of course, healed them all. This section of three miracles and healings is completed by Matthew using a familiar formula, saying, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." Matthew, being a Jew, knew Jesus as the promised Messiah of Israel, and that all he did and said was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. He shows us this truth throughout his gospel. This passage shows Jesus' love and compassion for all people, but especially those overlooked and neglected in society. The final part of our reading today is about discipleship, about the cost of following Jesus. It's worth reminding ourselves at this point that Matthew himself, the writer of the Gospel, was a disciple to Jesus. He had been called by Jesus to follow him. Matthew had witnessed the horror, suffering and death of his Lord and Master on the cross, and he had also been a witness to the risen Jesus. And like all first century followers of Jesus, he was eventually cast out of synagogues and was persecuted for his faith. So, Jesus' response to the very enthusiastic teacher of the law again may seem harsh, but Matthew wants his hearers to really understand how demanding true discipleship to Jesus is. The second disciple wanted to delay his commitment to follow Jesus. Jesus' answer again sounds very harsh. "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." But the point here is that Jesus' own sacrifice of himself is a standard for would-be disciples. Matthew doesn't tell us what the responses of these two men were. We, the listeners and readers, are left to consider our own decision and commitment. Jesus made it clear that a decision to follow him should not be put off. Nothing should have greater priority in a Christian's life than that of following Jesus, hour by hour, minute by minute. It's a lifelong, life-fulfilling journey of commitment. And it has been said that it costs to follow Jesus, but it costs more not to.
Thank you for that, Vanda. You've certainly given us something to think about as we reflect on what you've said today. So, having listened to Vanda, what is your decision and what is your commitment? I'd like you to think about that as you listen to the next song, There's No Greater Sacrifice.
Sacrifice than laying down a blameless life. You became sin for me, my Saviour and my friend. An angry cross, a crimson tide, the Son of God there crucified. Thoughts, my spear of pain, you became sin for me, my Saviour and my friend. There's nothing that I could give but live to die and die to live. You became endless grace, my Saviour and my friend. You are holy, King of glory. Give your life for me, my Saviour and my friend.
As we finish our sung worship, let us continue to worship our Lord through our prayers. Dear Lord, we think upon your sacrifice, your suffering, the rejection you knew was coming, how you would be despised, punished, and gravely wounded. We take time this morning to forget our day-to-day lives, to thank you for your sacrifice. To thank you for sacrificing your life in a way that you knew would be terrible. We are your children. We are not worthy of your love. We are free because you willingly gave your freedom away. Thank you. Show us your magnitude, Lord. Show us your awesomeness. Send your power. Lord, we think of all of those who are going on their own faith journey, who are being ordained or licensed or coming to know you. We pray protection over them and thank you for them. Father, build your church up and its people. Show your love and strengthen us. Father, this week we also had an opportunity to remember those who have served our country and those whose lives were sacrificed through this service. We thank you for their service. We thank you for the schools that have kept their memories alive and who are passing on such an important tradition. We thank you for all those people who continue to serve our communities and keep our communities going. We thank you for these people who have selflessly put themselves forward and ask that you protect them. We thank you for our church wardens, Roger, Anne, Sandra and Tracy. We thank you for Max and for Susie. We thank you for everybody who keeps our church buildings going without us knowing it, Lord. And we thank you for everybody who works behind the scenes. And we ask, Father, that you bless their work and strengthen the church so that we may reach out to more people within our community who are desperate for your love and for your strength. Father, we pray for those unwell and those who are suffering during this time. We name these people to you now. Father, I pray you send your balm of peace to our country. People are tired, anxious, stressed and worried. Father, help us to realise you are our Lord of all, our King, our Saviour, our Emmanuel. You are God with us. We fix our eyes on you, Lord, and wait for your return. Amen.
Thank you for those prayers, Fleur. And now just a couple of prayers that we can join in together. Lord Jesus, I give you my hands to do your work. I give you my feet to go your way. I give you my eyes to see as you do. I give you my tongue to speak your words. I give you my mind that you may think in me. I give you my spirit that you may pray in me. Above all, I give you my heart that you may love in me. I give you my whole self that you may grow in me. So that it is you, Jesus Christ, who lives and works and prays in me. Amen. And now, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, help us to be aware of your presence each day, so that we do not squander a single moment of our lives. Keep us eager to hear your voice, so we might be ready to serve you. Make us a blessing in the world, and let us follow in the footsteps of your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. And as you go out into the week, may the light of the Lord be in your eyes, the love of the Lord be in our hearts, the gentleness of the Lord be in our hands, the kindness of the Lord be in all we do, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. I do pray you all have a great week. Please do join us again online next Sunday. And as we leave, we've just got one last song. This has been recorded again by my friends Tansy and Mark and their children. And it's Peace Like a River. Please do enjoy and have a great week.
I got peace like a river, I got peace like a river, I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river, I got peace like a river, I got Peace.